Blog Talk Radio.
Good afternoon, everyone. This is Dr. Jeanette Gallagher, and welcome to the show today. You know, it's an absolutely fabulous day here in the South. Of course, we're back into the high 80s again. You know, for those of you in the Northeast, I'd love to come visit. Maybe we can switch places for a day. I think that would be a great idea. You know, we think about the fall as time of, you know, cleaning things up, getting the harvest together if you have a farm, or it's time to take a vacation because everything's cheaper, or it's time to prepare for the holidays. And all of these things, the word preparation, fall time, it always seems to be about preparation. You're preparing to finish something or to start something else. So we have a really great guest with us today. Her name is Rachel Joy, and she'll be joining us in just a few minutes. You know, I just started this new process whereby I'm beginning to share products that I've found, you know, to help improve quality of life. And each month, I'm just briefly going to talk about them on my shows, and I'm going to share my experience. So today I talk about memory. Biggest deal for me. I have four kids from 20 to 30 years old, and they are so tired of hearing me say, "I told you that already. You're not remembering. What's the deal?" You know, whatever. So I got really tired of hearing that for a while, and I was introduced to a company called Quincy Bioscience, and they have a product that's called Prevagen Professional. You know, I started taking it because I had so many stressful events in the past 10 years of my life. I think a lot of the stress and a lot of just being in this process of doing and doing and doing, that when I did slow down, I really didn't support myself well enough to be able to improve my memory. And another time I had also noticed on the show in the morning, one of these new shows, there was a woman who always does makeup. She's in her 50s, and she was talking about something as a new plan of makeup and a new product she was launching, and she had a mascara in her hand, and she's shaking the mascara and couldn't find the word mascara. And I thought, how telling is that of most of us in our 50s? Because she couldn't even remember mascara, something so simple she's probably used for the past 50 years. And it's so profound that other people are having issues like this. I hadn't realized and was thinking it was just me that everybody is having these issues right now. So I started taking one capsule of Prevagen Professional. It's 40 milligrams a day. They do have a 10 milligram also. You know, and I started remembering things. You know, kids said something to me. It was like, okay, I got it. Now I can remember it. At least I can remember to write it down. That was a good step for me. You know, it has a unique ingredient, and it helps to improve short-term memory and word recall. And it does not interfere with any other supplements or medications. And, you know, that's seriously important because every time someone says, "I don't want to take something else, I'd have to ask my doctor about that, I really don't know, maybe the pharmacist knows," and then you forget about it. Another thing on memory, huh? But I know the one thing is that one capsule of this does not interfere with anything, so you can feel free to take it. It also does not have any common allergens, and that's very important because so many people now were on restrictive diets of no soy, no dairy, no gluten, no wheat, no preservatives, all of these other allergens. I know for myself, seafood, shellfish is a huge issue. And it seems like a lot of things have a basis of that these days. So there's no common allergens. And research has shown it can reduce brain cell loss up to 50%. You know, I find that's a super good margin. Reducing brain cell loss up to 50%. Not 10, not 5, not 20%. And not even 1 out of the 100. It's 50%. I really think that's a great idea. I would encourage you to give them a call and ask them how Prevagen Professional might help you. Their phone number is 888-895-6463. You know, they've got tons of clinical studies and reports about how it works. They have a lot of studies that will give you documentation about certain situations in which it has improved memory, all you really need to do is dial the phone number and ask them. It works for me, and I just wanted to share it with you. So again, the product itself is Prevagen Professional. Their number is 888-895-6463. Just give them a call. And when you get them on the phone, just mention about this show that you heard it here, and they will be able to put you through to someone that will be able to sit down and talk to you about what your needs are, what would be best for you, and give you some information. If you'd like to take it to your doctor, just give them a call. So today, my guest is Rachel Joy. She is the author of Morgan's Journey. She's done a lot of things in her life. She's really into the vegan lifestyle, the raw foods, and she's also about being able to get out there and make changes in your life. She has done this in her life, so she's the perfect example of inspiring others. So we'll welcome Rachel onto the show. Rachel, are you with us?
I sure am, Jeanette. How are you?
Great, thank you. And you?
Good, thank you.
You know, when I read this book, it was absolutely the greatest thing. And you write so well, and it just seems to flow. And I found that there were so many instances I can say, I did that. Oh, I know someone who did that. And that helps to connect you with the book so well that you just keep reading and reading. You know, I read this book in just an hour and a half. You know, just kept going through it because it was just kept flowing. It was a great book. And, you know, the book we're talking about is Morgan's Journey, which Rachel has written. So can you just tell us a little bit about your book? I just loved it.
Yes, I appreciate you saying that and have giving me that great positive feedback. It's been very, very amazing to actually hear that from quite a few people. And the reason why I wrote the book was, you know, this journey happened, started about 5 years ago that I started writing the book. A good friend of mine and I, both in the health and wellness industry, thought, you know, let's write a book and teach people how to, you know, live a healthy lifestyle themselves, how to break through their fears, how to make some of these changes that we're helping our clients do every day. So it initially started as a how-to. And then I started reading a few books, such as, you know, The Monk Who Sold His Ferrari, different sort of teaching tool books that were written in a fictional story. And I really liked that because I thought, you know, people seem to learn a little bit better, at least I know for myself, when there's a story involved, right, where the people can connect to
right.
the story. So I started writing it in a story form and really connected as myself as the main character. Even though the book is fiction, not 100% of it is based on my journey, but it is based on other people's, my journey. So someone in my life has actually, you know, connected or done something in the book. So I always get friends and clients saying, was this me? Who's me? Which client? Which character is me?
Right. Right.
And sometimes they're a blend of people. So, yeah, so I started writing the book just to teach people how to break through their fears, reach for what they want to get, make healthy lifestyle choices, which is why I did put some of that in the book. I put some nutrition plans in there. I put some workouts in there so that a person, especially someone just starting out, could actually get started from some of the lessons and things that they've learned in the book.
Well, you know, I think we sit down and we see all of these things on TV, you know, these health shows and these gurus all, you need to do this to prevent breast cancer, and you need to do this to prevent colon cancer, and you need to do this for your eyes and this for your feet. And the next day, it's 10 more things. The next day, it's 10 more things. And you're like, I'm so lost, I don't even know where to go anymore. And I know myself, when clients come to me as a naturopathic physician, I find it is very difficult to get some of these people off of this thought that everything on the television and the media and everything else is designed for them as the patient to 100% be doing that. You know, they forget that they're a person and that they really need to find something unique. It's not that I need to do everything that's on TV from Monday to Friday, and God help me if I don't on Saturday and Sunday. Haven't you found that?
Absolutely. I'd say that to my clients a lot, and when I'm giving them suggestions on how to make some of these lifestyle changes, in that, first of all, we don't have to be perfect, right? I think we're always striving to be this perfect person, and I know that I've done that before, and that's been one of my lessons, is to make sure that my clients know that I'm not perfect, you know, and that we don't have to be perfect to still reach our goals. We can still enjoy our lives. So a lot of the times I'll say, you know, Monday to Friday, do the best that you can. Saturday and Sunday, have some fun.
Right. And you know what I also found, too, is I have a lot of clients who work on the weekends, and it's like, I know you can't do anything on the weekend except work. So
right.
You really have to adjust for yourself or adjust, you know, who you are. If you've got four kids and the only place you're going to be is out on the road in the car, then you're going to need to eat what's out on the road in the car. You know,
mm-hmm.
you can't – putting these labels on everything has really stigmatized us to be able to – feel like we always have to fit into some kind of peg, and if it doesn't work, we just can't figure out why, and we keep trying to mash ourselves into that peg, and it's like, dude, you know, I hate to use this word, dude, but dude, just go find another hole, you know? Go find
That's right.
where you fit yep. in, you know?
you well, don't I kind of like how you mentioned,
keep
you know,
mashing in.
Yeah, that's right. And I like how you mentioned, you know, what we see on TV is what we think we need to do. And that's one thing I again say to my clients is that, you know, a lot of these things we see on TV are, first of all, commercials from
right.
companies trying to sell something, right?
Mm-hmm.
Not necessarily meaning that they're good for us or that they're, you know, really backed by true good scientific evidence. And, you know, this also that idea of having to have a perfect body and a, you know, perfect physique and perfect this and perfect that. You know, I think so many of us strive for, you know, even something that's unattainable.
That's absolutely the truth. You know, a lot of people, and this is just a variance on what I call my ticker. My ticker is all the way onto the right is the gurus. You do it my way, you meditate and you breathe and you 100% you do it my way. And then the other side of the ticker is those who, I'm just going to live my life and whatever happens, I have no control over my life.
Mm-hmm.
So I think I try to, as you have done also, is say to them, this ticker can flow. It has flow.
Mm-hmm.
It's not something that's so rigid that it has to be pegged at one point where that's just the only place you can go. I mean, so many people are a little overweight now, and it's like, give it up. You know, if you go to the doctor and say, I have to lose weight, instead of saying, you know, I really want to feel better because my knees are killing me.
Mm-hmm.
Two totally different things in the way you're saying it.
That's
so
right.
Are you either beating up on yourself, or are you saying, I'd like a little help to be able to get my knees moving, you know?
Absolutely, and that's what I'm learning to, and that's what I am teaching my clients to learn to know is that, you know, it's not all about that end game. It's not all about the weight loss, and I want to do this, and I need to starve myself to do it. It's also about, you know, first of all, let's learn to love ourselves the way we are right now, right? And once we can learn, once we love ourselves the way we are right now, then we can accept the fact that, you know what, because I love myself, I want to make some of these changes. I want to eat healthy. I want to treat my body right. I want to work out. I want to, you know, whatever the case may be, take 5 minutes a day to relax and reflect. You know, we need to, first of all, do these things because we love ourselves, not because we hate ourselves and we think that changing will make it better.
You know, I really find that phrase, we need to love ourselves, if we could focus on that for a minute, I really think so many people do not really know what that may mean for them.
Mm-hmm.
We know what it means for the gurus. We know what it means, what we're trying to tell you, but it may not mean the same thing for you.
Mm-hmm.
So I would say maybe to a woman who comes in and says that I'm way overweight, and it'd be like, okay, great. What'd you do last night? Oh, man, I went out dancing. I had the best time.
Mm-hmm.
So I guess you really do have a good time with that, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I'm really hungry today, and I'm going to go past a few places. And it's like, well, if you're really hungry, why don't you have a few things first at your desk, maybe some nuts and stuff, and then go do your walk, whatever you're going to do.
Mm-hmm.
So it's maybe just changing a little ticker. This is what I see with people versus what does, you know, I really, you know, love myself. What does that really mean to them?
Mm-hmm.
You know, maybe that I have a good time when I'm out, or maybe that I want to do something that's exciting. You know, what is that? And focus on that versus, you know, well, this is what you have to do.
That's right. And that was the one thing I really wanted to reflect in the book as well, was that, you know, my character Morgan, who seemed to be quite lost and was doing things because she thought she should, or it was that's the way that she was being told, and then she finally recognized that, you know what, I need a balance here. I need to understand who I am, what is it that I really want, and be content with that. Right? And that's exactly what, you know, I really focus on my clients to do, is everybody does not fit into a box in the same prescription, right? We're all individuals. What works for one certainly may not work for another.
You know, and kind of in a way, I won't blame them, but I kind of in a way will bounce back and make a comment on it. The medical community has put us in boxes. I mean, this is, you take out your lab report, at this number, this is what I do. This number, that's what I do. This picture right. I see, that's what I do. And so us as individuals kind of, it's sort of like the Pavlov dog, you know? How many times you go to the doctor and he tells you this and you believe it, you know? Every
that's
time
right.
you go, you believe it. But every time you go, you kind of keep getting the same responses, but you really aren't getting something that's working better. So you may go in and say, doctor, I want to feel better, and he's saying, these are your numbers, this is what you get. And you go in the next time and say, doctor, my knees hurt, this is what your numbers say, this is what you get. So the process really hasn't changed. So I think trying to find some help and support outside of that box sometimes is what will help swing that ticker the other way and say, I'm going to enjoy it over here a little while. Maybe I'll go back, but right now maybe I might enjoy it over here.
Yeah, and in speaking with the medical community, I really encourage a lot of my clients, and even for myself, in that, you know, the traditionally it was the doctor knew it all, and, you know, I really don't believe that. I believe that we need to be our own health advocate, and I truly believe that we need to take what our physicians say seriously, because they do know, I mean, certainly that they're educated in that. But I think having a community of other health professionals, such as, you know, your dietitian and your personal trainer and your physiotherapist and your chiropractor and your holistic practitioner, why not have them all together? And, you know, because not every one of them is an expert in each of those fields.
You know, I find it so important, too, as we all say, is about the physician. Everybody wants to attack them. Well, they didn't know, and they didn't fix me, and they didn't this, and they didn't that. Well, you know, a doctor went to school, but there is such an influx of information these days with the Internet. And, you know, when a doctor went to a school in Massachusetts 35, 40 years ago, he had his books. He didn't have the Internet, you
right.
know. And if he wanted to find out what was going on in Israel or Germany, he was hoping maybe something would pass his desk or a journal would come out and he would get that information. He could read it. Now, if you take every single person that is doing great things in health and puts all their information out, now all of a sudden it's almost like the sky of stars. There is so much information. I find it almost, I can't think of the word. I'm not going to say abusive, but I would think I would say maybe I really find it irresponsible of a person to say, my doctor doesn't know it. Why does he know it? You
right.
know, that is so actually offensive in a way, because your doctor's a human being too. He's got 300 patients today, and you asked him why he doesn't know why the new report out of Germany just came out last week and he didn't read it.
That's
Are you serious? You know?
Yeah.
I mean, until I think patients start treating their doctors as human beings, I think there will always be that issue there where they feel like, well, you're of power and you didn't do it. And, you know, the blame finger, you know, that ticker of that finger keeps going that way.
Yeah.
So I think
that's why I think Sorry, Jeanette, I think that's why I think people put too much into their physicians, because you're right. I mean,
right.
they can't know absolutely everything that's out there right now.
Right.
You know, they can, of course they know a lot, but, you know, why not, you know, read these things and learn about these things for yourself. You know, I've had clients, I work with a lot of patients that have chronic conditions, diabetes, high cholesterol, high blood pressure, those sorts of things. And I had a gentleman, you know, unfortunately very obese, diabetic, and was really upset at his doctor. How come he's not putting me on insulin and he doesn't get it right and now it's all messed up? And, you know, when I sat down and talked to him about, you know, what are you doing on your end? How is your nutrition doing? Are you watching what you're eating? Oh, well, I don't think I need to do that. It's all up to my doctor. And I think, oh, my goodness, you know, there's just no responsibility in the patient's hands. Right? They think, oh, it's all up to the doctor, and I don't think that's right. You know, the doctor can only do what they can do.
Right, and then we're also claiming, you know, that the insurance has to pay for it. So it's kind of, I'm going to take my car and I'm going to keep ramming it against this wall because, you know, oh, well, I can't park. Do you think your insurance companies can come back and buy you a new car? I don't think so.
Exactly.
But every time you take that same body, you know, and you're a road warrior around the weekend, and then for the rest of the week you have Dunkin' Donuts, Starbucks, McDonald's, Burger King, and pizza on the way home.
Yep.
You know, and you're going to say, will you fix me? It's like, where does that sense of responsibility come from? You know, I mean, I think more of our jobs, like yourself and mine, is to tell people, where is your responsibility and let me know when it's there, you know? It's not really about pushing it on somebody else or doing it on somebody else.
Now, I'm up in here in Canada, and I know our healthcare system is quite a bit different. And, you know, I think a lot of people up here have that idea, oh, well, I'll just be taken care of, you know, because they are taken care of when they get older or when they get sick. And I cringe when I hear that, and I think, you know, that's the stress that's being placed on our healthcare system. And then when people really truly do need it, then, you know, there's lack of funding and lack of money, and it's very frustrating for me going, why do you want to be taken care of? Why not take responsibility now? Why not feel great and be able to, you know, be independent and healthy and active all of your life, right, until you absolutely can't anymore? You know,
it,
so when I
is,
hear, well, somebody
right.
else will take care of me, oh, it's so frustrating.
Yes, it is, and it's such a big difference when people would always come to us as, you know, alternative, what they would call providers. And they would come to us at the end game. You know, the end game when there isn't anything else, or when your doctor says, I can't help you anymore, you need to go get hospice. And they're calling you frantically, you know, I need you to fix me and I'm going to give you 2 months because that's what my doctor said. And it's like, I don't think so.
You know? It doesn't work that way.
You know, and I guess maybe it's the frantic fight or the fear, and, you know, how can we really make changes in people's lives?
Well, I'm really big on promoting prevention, you know, and the sad part about prevention is, you know, as human nature, we don't feel like we need to do anything until something is presented to us. Right? So people don't think they need to make those changes until you've got the knee issues and the knee pain or the high cholesterol or, you know, the threat of heart disease. And why not prevent those things? Right? I know for me, I would rather, you know, watch a little bit what I'm eating, get healthy, get out, take the dog for a walk every day or more, and be able to be active a little bit longer. Right?
Absolutely. You know, there's a bus stop here in New Orleans, and it has a sign on it. We know where they do advertising, and it says 1 in 4 have major heart disease in your state. And I find that is so very high. So if you take out how much 1 in 4 for heart disease and 1 in 6 have, you know, HIV or AIDS, and 1 in 3 has diabetes, how much does that leave left out of the bottom 5? You know,
and things like diabetes and heart disease, they are so preventable. You know, a very, very small percentage. A lot of people say, oh, it's genetics. Well, very, very small percentage is actually genetics.
Could you give us some information to the listeners about how to reach you, what you provide, your websites and other information?
Absolutely. So my website, I run a health and wellness company outside of Calgary, Alberta, here in Canada, but I do a lot of online fitness and nutrition consulting. So I do focus predominantly on plant-based and gluten-free nutrition. Plant-based meaning more vegan, no animal products. However, I change that for the individual. Again, like we were saying, not everybody fits in the same box. Not everything works for everyone. And I do fitness consultations, personal training, that sort of thing. So my website for that is www.saldare.ca. Saldare is spelled SALDARE.ca. And I've got my books. I've got a 12-week training journal, which is something that I created a few years ago so that my clients could keep track of their nutrition, their goals, and their workouts just to stay on track and stay focused. That book, as well as Morgan's Journey, is available on my website, loverachelJoy.com.
Great. And they don't have to be in Canada to access your services, correct?
No, absolutely not. I do a lot of online nutrition and fitness consulting as well. Yeah.
Can they do it through Skype or telephone or emails, or how do you work that?
I have done it actually through all those forms. It really depends on the client, what works for them. I find that a lot of people really like the email. I send programs. We chat on the phone. We go from there, have regular conversations, maybe a weekly touch point, that sort of thing, to see how people are doing. So, you know, we're lucky to live in a world of where we can connect to people all over the world so easily. So it's actually great to be able to do that.
It sure makes a difference when people say, I don't live by you, you know, and they, and you say, well, okay, so what's your point? I can still help you, right?
That's right. I mean, I had a coach about a year and a half ago who actually started me on my own journey of vegan or plant-based eating. And he lived in Toronto, which is, you know, on the other side of the country from where I live. And we, you know, had great results that way. I mean, we took pictures, we talked on the phone. My naturopath was in Montreal, again, on the other side of the country. You know, it's very easy to be able to talk on the phone, communicate through Skype and email, and get the results that you want.
So can you tell us how you would work with people? So what is important? Let's say I just come to you and I just find you and I really don't know anything.
Okay.
I mean, I don't even all I know is somebody told me I should contact you. How would you work with them?
Well, the first thing I would do is sit down and ask the person, what are your goals? And, you know, what are they wanting to accomplish? It could be a weight loss. It could be as simple as, I just want to learn a little bit more about nutrition, about how to stay healthy, that sort of thing. So we would go through that. Then I would touch base on, you know, what does this individual do for activity now? If they're not doing anything, well, then we go through some basics of fitness and how to get the body healthy. And then as well as I do a basic nutrition consultation, what are you eating now? What is the what is your goal? Are you trying to gain weight? Are you trying to lose weight? Are you trying to be healthy? Are you trying to control diabetes, et cetera, that sort of thing. So as far as fitness goes, there's a couple of different things I like to focus on for fitness, and that, you know, number one being cardiovascular exercise.
What does that mean? Okay, so like, even people don't even know what the word cardiovascular means, and then when you say exercise to it, it's like, exercise is like silly, and it's like, I don't know what that other thing means anyway. So a lot of people stop right there, and they don't even listen to you past that. How do you break through that barrier?
Well, yeah, you know, you're absolutely right. The eyes start glossing over.
Yep. They're like, yeah, whatever.
Yeah, that's right. So I know that cardiovascular certainly is a big word, and exercise is a very scary word for a lot of people. And basically, I just break it down to, you know, cardiovascular exercise is basically moving the body. So it's any activity that moves the large muscle groups, okay, predominantly the legs, arms, the extremities of the body, basically, to increase the heart rate and breathing rate. So this sort of activity is what we want to do to burn calories and to enhance heart and lung health. So, and that's part of what I absolutely love to do with my clients is educate them. And I've worked in a chronic disease management program for many years, and that was part of what we did was educate people, and that's exactly it. We had clients that came down to me and said, I know nothing about this. What does this mean? Right? So it's really interesting when you can teach somebody about, you know, your heart is the most important muscle in your body, basically, because if we don't have it, we don't have a lot else, right?
You know, it's so interesting when you say to people, I have to do exercise, and they're like, I'm not doing it, not doing it, you know, and then you tell them, well, I need you to get outside and go for a walk. You know, I can honestly say I've done this, and I'm sure you've done that, where you say, if you can't do anything, just go outside and walk, right?
Yep, absolutely.
However, and this was definitely my circumstance that it happened to me, so now I am very cautious on what I suggest about, because I went outside, quote, for a walk, and it was like the chemical plant, you know, that's about 10 miles from here. Oh, well, they had a whole lot of benzene and styrene in the air that day, and I didn't know it. And then 5 days later, they said, oh, we just want to let you know there was a spill 5 days ago, and they got fined $10,000. And I'm like, I was outside that 5 days ago, and why didn't you tell me about that then?
I know.
Instead of now. You know, so I really caution people when they say, just go outside and walk. It's like, no. You know, don't go outside and walk. You know, if you're really starting first, I think you really need to be responsible in looking around what's around you. You know,
yeah.
Am I walking? We have this great place here, and I've got to put a picture on my website. I say it all the time, and I think about it all the time, and I drive by it. But there's this walking path that used to be around the lake, and they changed it now since the hurricane, so there's no walking path there. The other walking path is straight down this one four-lane road, two lanes on each side. In the middle is a wide area of green grass that we call neutral ground, meaning just, you know, it's just there. However, they have all of the big, large electrical towers there, you know, those big metal things that hold all the big wires.
Mm-hmm.
And guess where the walking path is? Underneath.
Oh, no.
15 of those electric things. And people walk and bike on this every day. And they think, you know, well, I really can't do it on the sidewalk, blah, blah, blah. It's always an excuse and a reason. They said, oh, but there's a path over there. I'm going to go walk that path. They're walking under electrical transformers constantly. It's like, okay, maybe that's not a best choice. So, you know, I think being responsible is like, tell me what your outside area you might look in to walk in before I even suggest it. And
yeah,
we didn't even, who would even think of that, you know? I'm only thinking of it because I've experienced it. But you know, it's just something that you have to really look at.
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah, unfortunately nowadays, there's so many things in our environment, chemicals, radiation, all these various things that are affecting our health. So, you know, really when it comes down to health, it isn't only, you know, what activity are you doing, what are you eating.
Right
now it's, you know, what chemicals are we ingesting? You know, what's soaking into our skin? What are we breathing in the air? And it's scary.
And, you know, and I think the best point, too, is it's always about if I want to get healthier, it's sort of like, okay, I know I need to walk, but I don't think that choice might be the best. So
mm-hmm.
maybe I
Depending
need to pick walking.
Depending on where
walking.
You live, that's right.
Right, and I need to pick a different one. So
mm-hmm.
sort of like looking at your alternatives and not saying, but she told me to do it. You know, that's irresponsible in a way because you're still not giving the information back. So
mm-hmm.
it's really important to know, you know, when somebody says, well, I want you to drink lots of water, and they're like, okay, well, I bought 15 bottles of water, I threw them on the back of my car, and they've been sitting there in the sun all day, and they're the plastic water bottles, you know, but she told me to drink water. So, you know, I think really educating the people, like you do and myself, is what is out there, what are you really exposed to, you know, and not, you can't get healthy when you keep putting more sewage down the toilet, you know.
Yeah,
you can't expect
it
to clean it up. You got to stop the inward stuff somewhere.
Yeah. Well, just like you said, you know, when you say, okay, well, eat more fruits and vegetables, and then someone
mm-hmm.
says, okay, well, I'm eating more fruits and vegetables. Well, again, we got to think about where are those fruits and vegetables coming from.
Right.
You know, how much chemicals have been sprayed? Are you washing your fruits and vegetables? Are you scrubbing all those chemicals off? Are they organic? Are they, you know, there's so much to think about, you know, when you talk about, you know, meats and that sort of thing. Although I don't eat meat personally, there I still have a lot of clients that do. Well, where is your meat coming from? Is it an organic source? Is it farm fed? Is it pumped full of steroids? I mean, there's so much more to really, like you said, just going out for a walk or eating your fruits and vegetables. There's a lot more to it than that if you want to be truly healthy.
You know, and I really think that that's true because I found myself after all of these hurricanes learning some life issues that a lot of people would not normally encounter or would not normally observe. Something as simple as we said about the water bottles being out in the heat. You know, who would even think about that? But we all know that it is an issue. But then again, you know, after natural disasters, all of that water is stored outside in the sun.
Right.
You know? And you don't have electricity, so you're bringing it home and you're just throwing it there in the sun again. So really, are we educating them to do the good things or are we educating them how to take proper steps to be able to do that good thing?
Right.
You know? Huge difference.
Yeah,
you know, a lot of
absolutely.
People just don't even, they don't even think about it, you know?
Yeah.
I even had an acquaintance that was in Mexico, and she says that she carries a little baggie of this silver solution. And I'm like, what are you doing that for? You're crazy. She says, no, everybody in Mexico knows that if you drink the water and eat some of the food here, you get sick. Well, everybody knows that, right? We as Americans know that, right?
Mm-hmm.
So, but the Mexicans took it one step further. They said they never eat anything off the street, fruits or vegetables, without putting them in the silver solution to clean off the outside.
Right.
So why would they know that? and we as Americans going there don't know that.
Right.
You know, it's such a big a big ticker thing that we all need to teach, you know, different things and different ideas, you know. Show me a picture. Where are you going to get your food? Take a picture of it for me, you know.
Yeah, that's right. Well, and technically we all should be washing our fruits and vegetables like that, you know, whether it's in Mexico or not. I mean, there's so many chemicals and pesticides and what have you on our vegetables and fruit nowadays, right, that we, you know, really should be taking those extra precautions.
Yeah, you know, I think our food system is under attack, as just is our health, and I think there'll be a lot of changes coming up. And I really think it's more about being aware. You know, I'm going to walk outside and I'm going to say, it smells funny outside today. Maybe I'm going back in. That's an awareness. You know, you kept yourself out of that. Or I really don't want to walk around the block today, but I'm certainly not going to go walk around by those electric lines. So that's another awareness, you know.
Right. And again, I think that just goes back to taking responsibility for your own, right, instead of just saying, oh, well, so-and-so told me to do it. Or because I can't go outside and walk today, I'm just not going to do anything because there's tons of stuff we can do inside.
Totally correct. I mean, you can stand still and lift your legs up and down watching TV. So
that's
what
right.
if you watch TV, you know?
Absolutely. I tell a lot of my clients, you know, how many hours do you watch TV? Well, 3 or 4 hours a day. A lot of people do. And I say, there's a ton of commercials while you're watching TV. The minute a commercial comes on, you get down, do push-ups, or you squat, or you march on the spot, whatever that happens to be. And before you know it, those 30-second commercials add up.
Absolutely. And that makes a big difference. It's just movement. It's all about movement.
That's right. And our bodies are made to move. You know, I had a colleague the other day who took a couple of weeks off her training, and she's a high-performance athlete. And she's like, I am now getting knee pain. And it's because, you know, her body's used to being quite active, and then she has 2 weeks off of doing nothing, and the body really is going, what's going on here?
You didn't pay attention to me.
Right.
So can you give us some ideas about, you talk about how you eat vegan and raw foods. Can you give some people some ideas what that actually means? I mean, raw to me would mean I put a potato on the table that's raw. You know, and a lot of people are like, well, I'm not just going to eat carrots and celery. That's not enough for me. I'm not getting what I need.
Right.
So really, what does that mean to you and how you help with your clients?
Okay. Well, first of all, vegan means no animal products whatsoever. So no meat or byproducts such as eggs, milk, meat, that sort of thing. That is vegan. Now, I don't really like to use the word vegan much anymore because I find that there's a little bit of a negative connotation with some of the extreme animal rights and that sort of thing. So I like to say I eat plant-based instead of vegan, just to kind of stay away from that kind of stereotypical word. And as far as raw goes, anyone that eats a raw food diet, you can be considered raw at about 75% raw, which means if you do have cooked food, you're maybe steaming those potatoes, right? Not baking them in the oven for an hour at 400 and killing all the nutrients and enzymes in there. Really, a raw foodist believes that eating food in its most natural form preserves the enzymes and other nutrients in the food so that the body can actually take in the best nutrients. So for me, I'm at about 75 to 80% raw in the summertime. So I live up in Canada, and I'm a little bit jealous when you say you've got a beautiful in the 80s weather right now, because we're not. We have snow on the ground. So to be raw 100% of the time in Canada, I find a little bit difficult because in these cold winter days, I personally like to come home and have a nice warm soup or something like that.
Right.
So what we would consider raw is at least about 75% raw.
Well, you know, it's interesting you say about raw and about cooking it in the oven, but now they've got such a big deal with this microwave. I mean, the microwave, no matter what you put in there, you've got to drill this home to people that as soon as you shut that door, you're finished. You know, what's the point in eating it out of there? It makes absolutely no sense.
No, I mean, any nutrient value in any food that's gone in a microwave is killed almost immediately. And the microwaves actually live and go are ingested after you eat that. And I haven't owned a microwave in I don't even know how long. I don't like the taste of things that have been in a microwave, and I never recommend it to anyone. I mean, you know, people, well, how am I going to eat my oatmeal? Well, throw it on the stove. It takes 2 minutes to cook quick oats on the oatmeal, on the stove, you know. So, you know, again, like how we were talking about, you know, it's not only the food we're eating, it's how are we cooking it?
Absolutely.
Right? Is it on the thrown on the barbecue and charred to death? Well, you know, it's been proven that charred meat and stuff is, you know, can cause or increase your risk of cancer.
Well, you know, we live here in the South, and there's a whole lot of the torch. You know, they use the torch on the top of the food to, like, brulee it or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And so many people have said this tastes like chemical because it does. It's propane.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, why do you want to do that? I just, mm-hmm. I guess maybe I just don't understand that. And that's my concept of it. But so many have grown up with that they don't think it's really an issue. But
that's right.
When you're eating something that doesn't taste or smell like something that it should, it's maybe you shouldn't.
That's right. Well, and like you said, when people have grown up with something, you know, I work with a lot of different cultures here, and trying to break some of those cultural habits, you know, on eating foods like heavy creams and things that are causing the high cholesterol and the weight gain and different things like that, it's a little difficult to break through your, you know, your comfort foods that you've always been told is this is how you eat. You know, and it's
sure,
not only about eating, it's sometimes breaking those emotional connections that we do have with food.
You know, I have worked with so many children with autism in the past for about 5 or 6 years, and the parents would always say, well, but it's his birthday, I have to have a birthday cake.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I find that different in a way because I guess my kids always had a lot of issues with their health and stuff, and I was a single parent, didn't have the money, and all those other stories. But anyway, mm-hmm. my kids do not associate birthday with birthday cake.
Right. Mm-hmm.
They just don't. You know, cake and ice cream, they just don't. And being now in their 20s and 30s, they don't eat cake, you know.
Yeah.
1 year I had gotten a cake because I grew up with it a little bit, and I had it here. And it actually had mold on it by the time I got to it because nobody wanted it. It just sat here.
Yeah.
It was almost, you know, it just sat there. And everybody was like, you know, I need to clean out the refrigerator. This cake's got to go.
Yeah. Well,
you know?
And that's just it. It's tradition, right? Everybody associates
right.
birthday with cake. Which is really
right.
funny because half the time these cakes don't taste like anything but chemicals.
Right, especially now that they're still using lard in them, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
I saw a recipe recently in one of the newspapers here, and I don't recall what it was for, a pie or a cake or something, but the ingredients, a few of them that stuck out to me were lard, margarine, white sugar, white flour,
mm-hmm.
and condensed milk.
Mm-hmm. All high processed.
It was like, my Lord,
yeah.
I don't, you know.
Mm-hmm.
You know when they say cook from what you normally have in your house? I don't have those things in my house, so I wouldn't
know.
I couldn't make that, you know.
Yeah, I'm writing a plant-based and gluten-free cookbook right now, and I do a lot of gluten-free cooking and baking and dairy-free because my fiancé is actually celiac, has a celiac disease, so we stay away from gluten, and my nieces have a gluten and dairy allergy. So, you know, they are used to having, you know, cakes or cupcakes, but they're gluten-free and they're dairy-free. Right, and then when they have friends
right.
that come over, their friends are like, "Well, this tastes different. It tastes funny. It actually tastes real,
right?
Right? It doesn't taste like a chemical or a lard-ridden or, you know, refined sugars. You know, so it's really interesting that when people, the taste buds, what people are used to as well, and that's a hard thing to change. Is that, you know, you might be used to eating those foods, and then when you eat something that's a little bit cleaner, it doesn't quite taste the same because your body's not used to it.
You know, I always have this theory, too, that I speak to people about because I've encountered a lot with people, is they say, oh, the food's great here. But then I sat down to a meal and watched them. And they would either have 4 or 5 drinks before their meal, you know, or 5 or 6 sodas, and then the white bread. And,
mm-hmm.
then their meal would come. And it's like, there is no way, no how that you can tell me what that food tastes like. It doesn't
right.
matter if it's good, bad, or ugly food. Even
mm-hmm.
if it's the greatest salad in the world with the best fresh garlic with truffle oil, you could not taste it. Don't tell
mm-hmm.
me you can do that.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Yeah. Well, when I'm changing the diets of a lot of my clients, at first when, you know, I'm changing them to fresh, whole foods, And I really believe in not putting people on diets, but just changing into whole food eating. And at first they're like, oh, I don't want to eat this because it tastes different.
Right.
And then once they get used to it, and then they happen to have maybe a burger or some sort of thing that they had in the past, like hot dogs or something processed like that,
right.
And they go, I can't believe I ate this before.
Right.
You know, once their body's used to eating those fresh ingredients, it doesn't want to go back.
And it does take a while, too, because I know a lot of people, they get really used to eating, you know, drinking, like I said, a lot before meals. But when I go to a restaurant, if it's someplace I rarely would go to, I don't have water at the table. I don't have all those drinks. I don't drink stuff with my food because, you know, I just don't. And they're like, you're crazy, you know, and they don't understand that. And it's like, you need to wash it down. I says, what do you mean wash down? I don't know. Can you define what that means? I don't know what that means, you know.
Well, and it's not recommended to drink liquid with your meals. It dilutes the digestive enzymes
right.
in your stomach, and a lot of people don't know that.
But why would you wash down? It's just, I guess, maybe, and, you know, you have to look at, you know, what are you really going up against? Are you going up against, you know, this huge mountain and volcano that's going to blow back at you at the end? Or are you just, you know, there's some people that just, that isn't the change they're looking for, and they need
right.
to be responsible for that, too. You know, there's
yeah.
a lot of people that come and ask for change and demand change, but that's not what they want. They need
that's
something
right.
else in their life, and that's not mm-hmm. what you're able to give them.
No, you're absolutely right on that. I had a client just the other day. It's funny you say that, in that, you know, she wants all these big changes. I want this big weight loss. I want to see these muscles popping out of my body, and that's great, but yet doesn't want to make those healthy nutrition changes and prepare and make the foods that she needs to make in order to get that. So you're right. I mean, the goals aren't in alignment with the steps that these people are willing to take.
And that brings us back to your book, because that's exactly how you explained it in your book. You know, what challenges are you up against, and what actually is it going on?
Mm-hmm. That's right. Is it something deeper, right? Is
right.
there an underlying fear that you need to break through first before you can actually make these changes? Because I know that that's a big one with a lot of people that, you know, especially nowadays, unfortunately, with the high obesity rate, is it's not only about lack of eating or eating properly and exercise. There's a fear or maybe a lack of love or something that we're trying to feed and replace instead. You know, and those are barriers that people need to break through and recognize and deal with before they'll ever reach any of their fitness goals.
It doesn't make a big difference, especially when you're asking other people around you to accept you doing changes, when people
mm-hmm.
around you don't really want to see those changes because it disrupts their comfort zone.
That's right. Nobody likes to be pushed out of their comfort zone. And you're absolutely right. A lot of people, I know when I first started on my journey in health and wellness, I actually lost a lot of friends because of that, because, you know, I wasn't, you know, drinking with them anymore. I wasn't at the same restaurants as they were going to anymore. I wasn't out all hours of the night anymore. And, you know, they didn't like that. It made a big difference. But I know that, you know, for me personally, and even I say this to my clients, that just be prepared. The people closest to you might cause you the biggest problems, because you are now making a step and taking a stand for yourself. They might not like that too much.
And that's really hard to do. That's your biggest barrier, I think, in a lot of changes that we try to make
it's
in life.
Yeah. Especially when it's sometimes the people closest to you. I mean, I've had female clients say, you know, if I make these changes, I might actually have to change my entire relationship.
Right.
And I've seen that have to happen. And again, that's something I brought up in the book, that, you know, if these changes truly need to be made, your entire world sometimes needs to change. And that's tough.
Absolutely. Can you give our listeners your website again and where to purchase your book, the names of the books, both of them?
Sure.
And both locations to buy them?
Absolutely. So my website is loverachelsjoy.com. My Morgan's Journey novel is available on Amazon.com right now as well in paperback and ebook format. If you go to my website, loverachelsjoy.com, the links to the Amazon are there, and so it is available to purchase. My 12-week training journal is available through my own website at loverachelsjoy.com, and I actually have the cookbook I was talking about, the plant-based and gluten-free cookbook, coming out just before Christmas. So I do send out a monthly newsletter that has some recipes and fit tips and that sort of thing. So if a person contacts me, my contact information is on there. I can get them signed up for that monthly newsletter, and they can be connected to all those tips and upcoming events, that sort of thing.
They can also follow your blog, too,
mm-hmm.
and they will know when you post something on there, right?
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. If they want to subscrive to my blog, again, it's loverachelJoy.com/blog, and I do regular blogs on there, different things, inspirational, motivational, fit tips, recipes, all sorts of different things.
You know, it's really great, you know, to hear someone else talking about the other side of how you're trying to make changes with people and the barriers that you're having also with them. Because, you know, every time someone comes up and says, oh, I do all this great work. Well, yeah, I get that you do all this great work, but I know you've got issues. So we also, as consumers, like to know, what are the issues that I might be having? So if, like you and I, we both have experienced some of our issues, we share ours on this show. And therefore, you as a client can say, you know what, I think I have that issue, or maybe I might have that issue, or it might come up later. And mm-hmm. it's good to know that other people do have that. It's not just you, or it's not just, oh, well, somebody told me I had to do this, and I'm going to do it, and yada, yada, you know?
Yeah. Well, that's one thing I've learned as, you know, as I've gone through in my developing my career, is that, you know, I've always been this type of person that thinks, you know, if I'm helping people, I need to be this perfect figure. Well, you know,
right.
people also relate when I say, you know, I've had that struggle before. You know, a few years ago, I had a massive sugar addiction. I had a herbologist tell me that, you know, sugar addictions are even harder to kick than cocaine addictions. You know, and so I can say, you know, I've been there. I know what it's like. I know how it feels. But guess what? You can get to the other side. You know, and when I see people with, you know, emotional eating issues, I've been there. I mean, I grew up with grandparents who, every time you were sad, oh, honey, here's a cupcake.
Right?
So you kind of start to get that emotional connection to those comfort foods. So in a sense, I really like the fact that I've had some of those experiences, because I can relate to my clients when they're having some of these struggles, where I know other people that I work with, some of my colleagues have never had those struggles and can't relate to the struggles that their clients are having.
I think so many times, you know, we go to a doctor, or we go to an alternative practitioner, or we go to anyone that could be wanting to help us, and we all sit there and say what our goals are, what our issues are, and where we're at. And if there is not that connection or that experience, I think it always seems to have like one foot in the grave kind of idea. You don't
mm-hmm.
get me. You're not listening to me,
mm-hmm.
you know? And how can you really say that? And it's like, oh, well, I know you can do it. You can do this by this. And it's like, have you ever had it? And, you know, I would challenge people to say to their doctor, have you ever had this experience? Tell me your experience with it.
That's right.
Because if they can, then you feel like, okay, they did it, then I can do it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's just like cancer, you know. Don't say, oh, well, this treatment does nothing to me. It's no big deal and nothing's going to happen to you. You just go in, you get this done, and you come out and you're hunky-dory. And all of your patients keep to be coming back and giving you feedback, saying their experiences that were not that way.
Mm-hmm.
And the doctors don't change, or they don't alter. They don't change what they're saying.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, we don't need to be, as practitioners, providers, or consultants, or anybody, turn around and say, what you're feeling is not real.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it is real, and I need to listen to it, and I need to honor that. So
that's
that
right.
is, you know, really the patients are just as powerful as a provider is.
Absolutely. Yeah, and I've learned a ton from my clients. I have a lot of clients that, you know, I'll recommend something, and a lot of the times our journey together is through trial and error. You know, this isn't working. Well, how did it make you feel? Great, now I know. Maybe that somebody else I will see will have that same issue or that same problem or that same feeling. And, you know, as practitioners, you know, and healthcare providers, we do need to be flexible in that and recognize and listen to our clients.
You know, from being in the dental field, I can find the biggest thing that I have encountered in the past was with always recommending about, like you had said, the raw foods.
Mm-hmm.
But unless you know the dental status of the person, they're not going to eat the raw foods.
Mm-hmm.
Not going to happen. So I found myself always asking about their dental status. And if they're like, oh, yeah, yeah, blown it off. And then I would stop and I would take a look. And when you take a look inside their mouth and you actually see what they're dealing with, you know, missing teeth, or their teeth are falling out, or you know, when they're talking, their dentures are clicking, or any of these different things. people cannot eat what you're asking them to do. So you sending them away with a piece of paper, it's like you may as well just as well put, you know, a garbage can outside your door or your office, because that's where it's going.
Right.
You know, so really being understanding about all of your clients and exactly where they're coming from and really listening is a huge deal.
Well, exactly, because it's easy for somebody, you know, like myself to say that, oh, you know, you can work out first thing in the morning, you can take all the time to prepare. But like you said before, you know, you yourself with somebody with four children who's, you know, might be holding down a full-time job, I mean, there could be 16 hours in a day before that individual has a chance to sit down. They can't do some of these things I'm even asking them to do. So like you said, there goes that prescription right out the door. We have to really understand, is it even realistic for this person to implement some of these things? You know?
Right. So, again, I guess we're coming to the end of the hour. The book is Morgan's Journey. It's written by Rachel Joy. Her website is loverachelsjoy.com. And on the website, she does have another journal that's also available. And if you'd like to contact her, you contact her directly through that website. If you have any questions about Rachel that you're not able to have answered or you missed connection or whatever with her, you can always connect with me at outoftheboxhealthcare.com on my contact us page, and I can get a message directly to her. Our contact information is on the description of today's show listing if you have any other questions. You know, Rachel, I really find that the biggest takeaway from this entire hour was that patients need to be responsible for themselves and get the information to listen, and also providers. What do you think?
Mm-hmm. Absolutely, I agree.
And the changes are not across the board. If you can't do something, it's up to you to speak up and say you can't do something.
Mm-hmm. And everybody's an individual, and to recognize that you yourself is an individual, and, you know, what might be working for someone else that you know might not be working for you. So just to find the best avenue for you as an individual.
And you don't always have to ticker all the way over to the guru side. You can be somewhere in the middle.
That's right.
And you can float, and you can float each day, too. Each day does not have to be like the last, and it can be different than tomorrow.
Mm-hmm.
Well, thank you so much for your time today. I really appreciated having you on the show today.
Thanks, Jeanette. I appreciate you having me.
Thank you so much. So if anyone would like more information, it's Morgan's Journey is the book. It's written by Rachel Joy at loverachelsjoy.com is the website. And I'd like to thank everyone for being with us today. And tomorrow we'll be on to the next show and give you some more insight into how to make daily changes that are small and subtle. And even some days we'll even have some fun. I know we have some budget guys coming up talking about money. Man, that's going to be something interesting. So until then, thank you for joining me.